Corrupt and Be Real, Tech, Kaz, and Young D from Tangled Thoughts. All of us been having high-level Joint Chiefs meetings about Tangled Thoughts' new album. We're also working on Young D's solo mixtape. It's going to be with DJ Ski. It's going to be hosted by Corrupt and Be Real, executive produced by Be Real and myself. And I mean, if you haven't heard D and Tangled Thoughts, oh my God, those guys are incredible.
Those guys are great.
And Loth and Jared are actually working with them right now. So, I mean, we're all working together, actually. We've left out about 12 songs, and all of us are going to get together and do something really ugly.
Sounds exciting. Is it maybe going to be like a group thing, Corrupt, Be Real, Tangled Thoughts, and you?
Well, no, I think the way we're going to do it is, you know, Be Real, I mean, Cypress Hill, I mean, he's freaking legend, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, Rose, Jared, and me, Young D from Tangled Thoughts, we're all just kind of working on some bangers right now. D went back and played the stuff for Be Real, and, you know, the mixtape is called Can't Blame Me, Audio Hustlers Volume 1, which is, you know, Audio Hustlers is Be Real's thing, and, you know, Corrupt, of course, presented, you know, Philly to Cali and all of that kind of stuff, and Corrupt being an old friend of mine, and Be Real, I mean, they have such a long history, and he's just incredible. You know, we all love Tangled Thoughts, so it's like, what can we all kind of do together to kind of, you know, make this shit big?
Yeah.
So Be Real and Corrupt, who are the OGs, you know, Be Real and I are going to executive produce the mixtape, and Corrupt is going to host the mixtape with Be Real, and I'm just going to kind of oversee, you know, the beat side of it and some of the, you know, the production side of it with Be Real, and just do something really ugly. And now the Tangled Thoughts album, it looks like, you know, I'm going to be a co-executive producer on that as well and do some of the beats and work with D and work with Kaz and work with Tech. And Tech is fucking incredible. The producer that works with them, I mean, he does stuff with Ruff and with all of those guys. And it's just, I mean, it's a fresh sound. And a lot of the new producers are where I'm finding a lot of the fun. I mean, and not just that, but going back to the unreleased that's in stores November 20th. You know, hopefully in volume 2 and 3, you'll see some of the other production side of it. I mean, I've done tracks with Battlecat. I've done a track with Quick. I did a track with a couple tracks with Tech. You know, I mean, a couple tracks with Mike City and Tough and, you know, all of those kind of things. I enjoy working with people, not just rappers, not just singers, not just that. I enjoy working with even up-and-coming producers. That's why you have Los and you have Jedi Jared Moore producing first singles on a Butch Cassidy and DeMiz album or a Tangled Thoughts record or, you know, whatever it is, because that's what's dope to me, is the new shit. And that's why, you know, I go to WCNN and shit and surf the web and all that kind of stuff, is because at the end of the day, I'm a fan of the music. I mean, I like to see all that crazy shit. I like to see what's new. I like to hear it. You know, when Tajay was on the radio last night, I sat in my room and listened to it on the radio. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's crazy. It's new talent.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just blessed, dude. I mean, Davey Ree, if you look close enough, has always been in the middle of what's popping. From 97 to now, I mean, it's just been, it's been crazy. I mean, you know, and you got to thank people like Dr. Dre for teaching us that kind of shit. You know what I mean? Like, at least giving people shots, because that's the key. That's how you make your shit legendary. You know, it's your legacy. If you're always putting people on, you're always working with people. I mean, look how many people that Dr. Dre has put on, the Quick has put on, that, you know, Corrupt. I mean, whether it be, and even Be Real, like Sick Jackin and Psycho Realm and, you know, Cartoon and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, you just kind of do that stuff.
Yeah.
You gotta give musicians shots.
That's how it spreads, I guess. That's how everything expands.
And even, like, you know, with all of the Quick stuff and, you know, Trauma and stuff like that, you know, bringing all of that together, we had a crazy success with that. I mean, forget all the side stuff that happened with, you know, people that had nothing to do with, I mean, all the stuff that happened with Quick was side people. You know, RBC, which is, you know, the former Infrastructure of Priority, which had huge success with Master P and the Independent Game, and really are the godfathers of that genre, you know. And shout out to Master P, because when we went down the independent route, when I signed my deal with Fontana, he's the first person that I called. Like, yo, P, I'm getting into the independent game. Like, tell me about this. And he really taught me a lot about the pitfalls of independent and the pluses. But, you know, with RBC, we went to Fontana and did an independent deal with a major artist, Quick. Gave them their first how we got our deal. And on top of it, it was the first time that DJ Quick owned his own material. And if, in the interview he did with you guys, he said it was the most money he's ever made in his career.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's a great record, too. So,
yeah, and, but down to, like, and that was great, because even, like, Triple and Baby Ree here, you know, hooked up Cartoon to do the artwork for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, we were the infrastructure of the entire Trauma project. You know, that was freaking incredible. You know, management and people that work, you know, on other sides screw up things, but at the end of the day, Quick and I did our job.
Yeah,
we set a record with airplay. He had 1,700 spins on Fandango. When the record dropped, we shipped 130,000 records on an independent record. You know, outside of TVT, you know, and what they've done, I mean, no other independent record has got 1,700 radio spins and shipped 130,000 records on the first release on the independent.
So that's how you guys got the Baby Ree label signed after that, off of the success of Trauma?
Well, actually, we were in place to sign the deal with Fontana before that, and it was going to be kind of an all-encompassing deal. But when Quick came forward and said, look, I need some help with this thing, I was like, well, let's do that first, because that'll be bigger ammunition, and it can help us with leverage and negotiating.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Good idea, yeah.
So with that, we were right. It was Fontana's very first number one independent record. So when that happened, they gave us a ridiculous deal.
Nice.
And, I mean, Steve Pritchard, and everybody at Fontana, I mean, you got to look at Fontana like this. They are one of the only labels in the world that are giving West Coast artists a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it be the Jay Weld situation, or whether it be, you know, whether it be the Quick situation, whether it be our situation, Butch Cassidy, all of that kind of stuff, they're providing an avenue for West Coast talent, which is hard to find on the West Coast or anywhere, period.
It's true.
And that's what I love about Baby Ree, is we are consistently one of the only West Coast entities that continues to put out West Coast music. And not just West Coast music, all types of music. I mean, we're doing the L.A. Blues Alliance. I mean, getting people like Mike Post, who wrote the 18 theme, you know, Hill Street Blues, all of those kind of things. You know, he put together an album, the LA Blues Alliance. I don't know if you saw them on MySpace, /them as one. But it's the best of the blues musicians in the world. You have Snuffy Walden, you have Kev Moe, you have Mike Finnegan, you have Bob Glob, you have J.R. Robinson. I mean, all Grammy and Emmy winners, you know, on that level of Mike Post. I mean, we did a show at the House of Blues, and Joe Pesci introduced them. Do you know what I mean?
That's big. Yeah, I read something about that. I mean, that's crazy. So they're signed to Baby Ree.
What happened was, you know, Mike Post puts this group together. He's letting everybody. By the way, Mike Post is the coolest motherfucker in the world. I mean, for him to come along and say the entire, you've seen the Area 51 footage and Studio 9 and all that shit.
You've been there, actually. Got to go there last weekend.
Dude, that's Mike Post's spot.
Oh yeah?
It's a $3.5 million complex. It's his clubhouse. But he loves young people making music, and he empowers that. So what does he do? His son is my manager. So he meets me. And Aaron is incredible. And just, I mean, he's worked for Guns N' Roses, Exhibit, all of that kind of stuff. So I mean, he sees that and goes, look, I don't understand what you're doing and with this rap stuff. You know, I don't get it, because I don't come from that generation. But we see eye to eye on one thing. You're about the music and I'm about the music. So here's the keys to my studio. Have fun.
Wow. Yeah, that studio
is
ridiculous.
Like, what? So I mean, if you look at it like this, Mike Post is responsible for a lot of the music that all of y'all are hearing.
It's amazing how it trickles down to that. Yeah.
I mean, and for someone who's an OG like that, who does not have to do that shit, that's some crazy shit.
Definitely.
And so, anyways, he goes, yo, I'm going to need the studio next week. I'm like, dog, please, I'll leave. What? And he goes, nah, come by. I want you to hear something. I'm like, what? And he goes, well, I'm doing this little album called the L.A. Blues Alliance. So I'm like, oh, little album, Blues Alliance. Okay. I walk in to see Cap Moe and Mike Finnegan and Snuffy Walden, all these guys. I'm sitting like, these are guys that Eddie Van Halen listens to and goes, how did he do that? People that played with, you know, J.R. Robinson played drums on Off the Wall by Michael Jackson. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They famous, right. You know, thing at the beginning. That's him. And he's in, just playing drums like, hey, Miz, how you doing? And I'm sitting there like, what's up, dog? Like, you know, Kevmo, the biggest blues musician of this generation, is in there. And they're sitting there doing it, but they took it to the majors, and the majors were like, this will be too expensive. We won't understand it. You know, we don't understand it. So I walk in the mic, and I go, look, the least I could do, let me put it out. You can keep all the profits. You know, we'll do a crazy-ass, like, I only want 10% to cover the cost of the shipping and all that other stuff. You take the rest of it. And he's like, what? And I said, yes, do an independent deal, take the shit. This week we're up 96% in sales. We're getting airplay on a blues project.
Wow.
But to have an independent boutique label in California that only just puts that kind of shit out, like just real people that are really fucking with music, that's the biggest dream come true out of all of it.
Yeah, I mean, damn.
We can put out a blues project, we can put out Butch Cassidy, we can put out all this other stuff. I mean, people, you know, it's a trip because I don't talk that much. I don't do that many interviews. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm real quiet about my shit.
Yeah.
But now, I'm really excited about the shit where I just can't shut up.
That's great that you guys have that, like, outlet to put the stuff out, too, you know? You can put out whatever you want. You know it's going to be good.
Well, and you know, it's a trip because for so long, I worked so fast and so hard that I wasn't paying attention to the fact that I have 500 songs in the vault of math. You know, it's like a banker or somebody who, you know, who works with money all day. And then someday they realize, oh shit, I got $300 million in the freaking bank account. Let me go on vacation because I've been working like a dog.
Since you got caught up in the moment.
Since I was 12 years old, I've been working nonstop, day and night, no vacations. A couple years ago, I just retired, said, forget it all. I'm just going to go kick it in Santa Barbara with my family. Because I realized there was nothing else to do. What am I going to do? Put West Side Connection back together? Did that. Produce Lights Out. What am I going to do? Put Dre and Snoop back together? Did that. Help them put the Chronic Tour together. Like, what am I going to do? Make Power 106 number one? We were number one for 10 straight books.
Yep.
So what am I going to do now? I'm going to go produce a record? Great, I had a number one rap record with Where I Want to Be, I had a number one R&B record, and a number one pop record. What am I going to do?
Well, you got it all covered.
Let's go kick back, and then let's get back to work and start putting some new motherfuckers on.
Okay. It's a good goal to have, shit.
Well, I mean, the goal has always just been music. I mean, dude, I'm working with Terry Reid right now. Like, Terry Reid, who's like, I mean, this is a guy that Jimmy Page went to and said, I want you to be the lead singer of Led Zeppelin. He's like, nah, I don't want to be in a group, but here's Robert Plant. You know what I mean?
That's wild.
And he's telling us a story about Jimi Hendrix and Miles Davis last night. Jared and I, you know, like, and that's what I love. Jared being a new producer, 6 months ago, he wasn't really in the game. Put him with Mailman, put him with Warren G, put him with all these people to teach him. And then we go to Terry Reid's house, and Terry's like, yeah, you know, there one night, and I answer the door, and Miles Davis is at the door, and I go, what? And he goes, yeah, I was at Jimi Hendrix's house. I'm like, what?
Wow.
First-hand account of Jimi Hendrix and Miles Davis? And he goes, yeah, and what was really crazy is I opened up the door, and, you know, Miles don't like people, so he was like, where's Jimi Hendrix? And I'm like, well, what did you say? He's like, well, he's in the shower. Come on in. He's like, no, I'll wait here. And then freaking Miles Davis just shuts the door. Waits in the hallway. So then Terry says to Jimi Hendrix, yo, Jimmy, Miles Davis is at the door. Jimi Hendrix starts laughing. Then goes and opens the door, grabs Miles Davis, and Miles Davis and Jimi Hendrix go in the freaking room and start jamming. But Terry Reid is the only person ever to hear it.
Damn. That's cool.
So, I mean, stories like that as a music fan are the most valuable things in the world.
Yeah. So what you're saying, you got like Jared in there doing that too, and now he hears that too. Like, he's getting to soak
up the
game just as well.
Yeah, he's the next
generation. That's great.
I mean, even look at, like, you know, I'm working on this group, Guilty, who's Los, who produced Cruising. He's in the group. Silas, Sly, and Nate. These are four kids, and I don't mean to say kids because they're younger than I am. I mean, they're all 18, 19, but, you know, and I'm pushing 32, so Lord have mercy. They went to Dos Pueblos High School with my little brother. They said they wanted to rap. I'm like, really? Lowe said, I want to be a producer. I said, really? All right. A year later, they're on the radio.
Wow.
That's the shit I love. Lowe didn't believe any of the shit I was telling him. He thought I was nuts. I'm like, dog, if you do it this way, you do it this way, you do it this way. Oh, shit, come here, let me help you. Hey, they're going to play your track on the radio. You got the first single from Butch Cassidy and the Miz. Yeah, right, fool, you're full of shit. On the radio at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Yeah, okay, I'll be listening. Phone rings. What the fuck, I'm on the radio?
Damn, that must be a great feeling to know that you help these guys out and all that, too.
Well, I mean, it's a great feeling, but it's also, I mean, you know, it's the best feeling. And the reason why is you get to see the future of music. Like, that's what's also really cool about my life. I get to see the future of music before anyone else. You know, Dre playing me the Chronic. Dre calls me up and says, yo, dude, come to Bernie Grundman Mastering. Fuck, why? What's up? Yo, dude, I got something for you. I was like, okay, I show up. He hands me a CD straight off the freaking burner. Yo, here's 2001. Call me, give me your opinion. I'm sitting there going like, I have what's going to be the future West Coast classic in my hand 3 months. I get a call from Jimmy Iovine. Yo, what the fuck? What are you talking about? What's this Hawaii, Dr. Dre, and Snoop Dogg reunion and Chronic Island with Corrupt and all these people? What? I can't even get Dr. Dre to turn in a record. What the hell are you doing? How'd you get his number? I don't even have his number. He won't turn in a fucking record. What are you doing? And why am I paying $250,000 for promotion for an album that I don't even have yet?
That's ridiculous.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So it's just you get to watch all the things unfold, and when you look back on it...
And get to be a part of it on top of it?
Yeah.
Oh, please. I've already died and gone to heaven. I could die tomorrow.
It must be a beautiful feeling. Damn.
Really, get to watch it all, man. It's great. I mean, a lot of the young artists today, I love watching. I love watching Crooked Eye. I love watching Sly Boogie. I love watching, you know, everybody, dude. I mean... Teach you and Lil Wayne, I just did a song for Jim Brown from the American Foundation, Bo Taylor, Stan Shepherd, everybody at the American Foundation, Unity One, God bless them. I mean, they work for Social Change, Lee Baca, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. They're putting together an album it's an album that's basically a fundraiser for the American Unity One situation. And Akon and Snoop have the first single, and TQ and Lil Wayne and I did a song for it called Ghetto. And it's freaking crazy. That's coming out in, I think, October 23rd, so make sure you look out for that, too.
Sounds like a good project.
If you want to know about some crazy shit, sitting with Jim Brown, Terry Belafonte, James Ingram, you know, all of those kind of guys. I mean, dude, I looked over at Harry Belafonte and said, yo, man, let me ask you a question. He said, yes, young fella. I said, yo, what was it like sitting in the Oval Office with JFK and Martin Luther King working out the Civil Rights Movement? Yo, JFK was a real cool dude, but Martin, he was just cool. And he starts telling me about, you know, what they were talking about. A first-hand accounting of what was happening in the Oval Office working at civil rights shit. This is the shit that I'm going to do in a day, dog.
I envy you, DeMizza. It's crazy.
Real music.
Damn.
I mean, even with Glitter and Mariah and all the shit that happened, I mean, the first thing that she did was the Super Bowl. So, I mean, you can imagine how nervous she was.
Yeah.
So we would be joking around about how Al Gore should have won and he's the underdog and all this shit. I see Al Gore walking around. I say, yo, Al, what's up? He's like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, oh, shit. Yo, Mariah's in there. You know, she had a tough year. He goes, yeah, you know, the movie wasn't that bad. I'm like, what? How do you know about Glitter? He goes, I saw it with Tipper.
That's funny.
Because then the album, I mean, it wasn't that bad. It came out September 11th, right? I'm like, wait a minute. How do you know that it came out on September 11th? He goes, look, bro, I have to read the newspaper every morning cover to cover. If I don't, someone walks up to me and asks me some dumb question like, yo, didn't you just say that you started the internet? And if I don't know where it freaking came from. And I'm sitting there just going like, wait a minute. How's the vice president of the United States the coolest motherfucker in the world? I'm like, why don't you come over here and meet Mariah really quick and break the ice? He goes, yeah, hold on a second. I'm like, oh, shit. Secret Service starts talking into their sleeves. I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm dead.
Damn.
Next thing you know, Al Gore looks over and says, I'm cleared. Let's go.
That is just fucking crazy.
Dude, it's music, man. If you do it for the music, and you don't pay attention to none of the bullshit, and you don't listen to people's egos, because that's all it is. Haters is people that have self-esteem issues, bro. That's what it is.
It's got to take it out
period.
On somebody.
I mean, people don't listen to it. I mean, you know what's funny? I look at the forums. I look at all that stuff. And it's so funny to watch people like, yo, I don't like that track because of this and this and what this dude did with this. Man, fuck all that. Listen to the song, homie. Like,
you're saying,
I mean, really.
Instead of trying to get caught up in, like, the politics of, oh, I didn't like it because he's on the track with this guy or whatever. Yeah.
No, but, you know, it's like, but they don't even look at, like, I mean, dude, do you know how hard these rappers work? Do you know how hard these producers work and what it takes to do a record? It's a fucking bitch, especially in this industry, especially for West Coast talent.
Yeah.
So when we get a shot, we need to embrace that. And at least, I mean, dude, if you don't like the record, that's fine. Go ahead and say what you want. It's all good. But, I mean, the hater age shit, that shit is bullshit. It's got to stop. Yeah. Because all you're doing is limiting chances for your favorite artist.
Yeah.
You gotta support all of it. Whether you like the dude's music, there's a lot of people that I've worked with where I'm like, damn, dude, you know, like on the radio side, as a producer, it's kind of hard for me to work with people that I don't get. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it's hard for me to bounce off of them and make a crazy song. But when it came to radio, you know, I necessarily didn't like a lot of the shit I played. But I knew it was right for the radio station. I took myself out of it.
Yeah, I mean, everyone on the West Coast is just put everything together and just keep going with it.
And they have to do that.
They do.
I mean, and if people don't do that, then there's no way. I mean, how is the format going to grow and flourish if people are stopping it?
Yeah.
For selfish reasons. That's how the West Coast got so fucked up in the first place. Oh, I ain't fucking with that dude. I'm harder. Come on, bro. There's always someone better. I'm not the best producer on the West Coast, but I'm the most consistent.
For sure.
Since 97, I've put new acts out. Period.
Yep.
And on the record, if you read the credits, like, for instance, I mean, you even look at the DJ Quick record from the Shady Shacks record from Formal Introduction. Do you know who fucking played keys on that record? Devontae Swing from Jodeci.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes. On a New Kids record. The video, Timberland, Dr. Dre, Jamie Presley, all of those kind of things. I mean, artists that, you know, Siphon Deluxe with Power 106, you know how they got their job? They were working in the promotion department at Power 106. The motherfuckers made me laugh so hard one day I put them on the radio.
They're just talking shit, like, sitting around, and then you thought it was funny?
Dude, it was hilarious! And you know what? And movements like that, I mean, you can always tell when something is dope when people are afraid of it. Look at Pocos Petalocos, dog. When they first came on, and Kool-Aid was shopping that deal to Power, everybody was like, nah, man, the Latin movement, da-da-da-da. I started laughing my ass off. I said, you know what? Those motherfuckers, not only, I mean, A-Dub and Kool-Aid are some smart people. I mean, and not just that, but the music is good. But everybody said, I mean, look at the pattern. Dr. Dre's over. Mariah Carey's over. Pocos Petalocos will never make it. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Come on, dog.
Yeah.
Consistency, the key to the game. All artists, listen closely. The key to the game is consistency and repetition. Consistency and repetition breed familiarity. Familiarity breeds passion. Passion equals consummation, like a baby. Consummation is multiply. Do you see what I'm saying?
I definitely see what you're saying. Damn. You definitely broke it down for us right there. Awesome.
There it is. There is your key. If you cut out all the bullshit, cut out all the ego, and you consistently make good music with a lot of other people, get people familiar with your shit, there's no way you can go wrong.